Mike's feeling a little funky tonight.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is kind of shaman funky music.
Shaman funky.
Shaman funky.
Ooh. New band.
Is that shaman a thing, funky. Johanna?
Hey.
Shaman
How
funky.
How about some drums here tonight?
Yeah. Ooh, a little drum circle.
Ooh.
Right. I used to do that
Follow
in
your heartbeat?
Isn't that when you would like smoke weed and
I don't know what you're talking
drum
about.
Circles and
Yeah.
That's what I thought they were.
But yeah, you do. I mean, you kind of
Well, you
to...
did them anyway.
I did back in the day. No, but I am a huge fan of rhythmic healing and drum circles. When I lived in California, I used to go to Venice all the time and sit on the beach with a whole bunch of hippies and just have at it for an hour or two.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, we should say welcome. It's Kathy Hart, Frank Fontana, along with Johanna Probst. And
well, thank you.
You're a...
I am so honored to be here.
Oh,
two of my favorite people.
We're Yay. Honored to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
So for people that don't know, can you even explain a spiritual healer? It's probably pretty difficult.
It is kind of difficult. Usually I try not to explain a definition of what it really means.
Through words.
It's really walking in the experience through a process. You know, as we are in the human and soul level, we have the component of healing within ourselves. And it makes it easier when you can allow yourself to be open for the possibilities. So really explain what the definition of one word or the other, it becomes really difficult. For myself, you know, I was born with this gift. And
where are you from originally?
I'm from Guatemala. Guatemala City. I've been here for about 35 years.
Okay.
37.
And is this something that is familial? Like you've been passed down from generation to generation?
Well, what I discover is that, yes, something I wasn't really planning on practicing. But later on in life, I realized my great-grandmother had a gift and my grandmother did too. And, you know, eventually just start developing it. I wasn't really known or inform growing up. It was just something available. And, you know, when you live in a country like Guatemala, it you get to practice. There's so many beautiful dynamics from indigenous to just different the culture and the mountains and things like that. So there's a lot of you connect with, even though you know how is
Earth
happening.
And Earth, vibration.
Exactly.
And...
Yeah.
So is it intuitive? Is it... like psychic, medium kind of thing?
Or all of the above?
Well,
when you say gift.
Yeah, so here's the thing. For me, I have to understand it as a gift as I got older, though. Because when I was a kid, you just don't know. You know, kids, I've said before, kids really don't realize that we are all gifted. Like, you guys are gifted. We're all gifted, really.
Thanks, Johanna.
But as I got older, I started to understand how I was a little different than the other kids.
What age did you realize, like, there's something going on inside of me that I'm able to see things and feel things that other people don't?
Yes, I
really?
Would say...
Like, what? Oh, I want to hear more about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, me too.
Huh.
Hey, let's turn it over to Frank. Hi, Frank. How are you? Welcome to the show today.
Yeah. Can you heal
Can
us?
You tell us all about that?
Sure. No, but seriously, was there a moment in your teen years or even before that where you just kind of like...
I would say about 5 and about 8, I already had an idea that it was different. You know, I experienced my spiritual presence, whether it was energy or to me, it was just an image of light.
Okay.
And my ears developed and I was able to hear vibration that I was able to interpret it as a language, at the time Spanish. And that's how I just knew I could communicate with
Dead
the
people.
Other side of the veil. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hate to be so
and
cliche.
And I don't want to say that.
But yeah, I mean, what else do you say? Spirits?
Well, here's the thing. Dying is a continuation of life, I believe, today. Because, you know, we spend our days here shifting constantly. I believe that the minute you walk out of your house, something, and come back, let's say later on, something has died that is not going to serve you anymore. So we're in a constant process of dying off the things that don't serve you.
Oh, I have
so
had a lot of that lately.
A lot of dying going on over there. Right?
Yeah.
So when people passed, it we're just continuing that life in a different flair, per se.
Okay.
And what we miss or we don't have anymore is the physical body, the personality, you know, so which creates the grieving here for us. You know, this is what we're so sad or we miss the person. But really, spiritually, it's we're always connected. You can't kill spirit.
So it's a matter of whether people know to connect with that spirit, because some people say that, and I experienced this myself after my mom died, I didn't believe in signs, and I don't think it, and until it happens to you, and they are such blatant signs that nobody else can explain. I mean, it's clearly a sign from my mom. And, you know, I've been told that once these people who have passed on or whatever you say, mm-hmm. once these people know that you recognize this as a sign, then they show that to you more often. So it's kind of a way of communicating.
Yes. Well, the reality is that we're constantly communicating with our spiritual guardians, I call it. And they are a source for us to somewhat understand that we are spiritual, that we are connected, and it's a way for the spirits that are able to help us now to show that, hey, this is home as much as your spirit is home, as wherever we go, it becomes home. So those signs that we get from the other side are just really saying, hey, you got this in you. It's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice it a little closer, then you feel closer to home, even if you're here, still in your physical world.
And do you feel like today in the world we live in and the turmoil and the anxiety that people feel and the ability to connect with another person, you're busier than you ever have been?
Yes. Yes. Mm. You mean your question as...
My question is...
Mentally and emotionally or everything?
Right, from a global energetic mm-hmm. that you speak of, because of the, you know, everyone with the politics and everything that's going right. on in the world... There seems to be this underlying distress.
Yes.
With people.
What it does is, and usually, you know, I talk to kids about it in college, you know, even adults and everything. We live in a world polarity. And, you know, a little bit of madness is necessary regardless, because it shows one side or the other. You know, we need the right to go to left. We mm-hmm. go up to go down. And it's an understanding, as if I say, you know, a knife cannot cut itself. You need to pick it up and cut something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the world around us is just a way to show a lot of our shadows, a lot of that polarity, the opposition within ourselves that we have to somewhat mature at some point in our lives. And, you know, all of us will experience that environment in different ways. Will say, yeah, life gets too busy. Other people will say, you know, I just don't feel that I'm home anymore. Some people will tend to go to the mountains more often and appreciate nature more than ever. And some others will stick around just because that whole electricity and, you know, will help you connect with our new generation. I mean, we have computers, we have electronics. And so I think if we learn to look at it this way, the distress that we experience becomes only material.
Mm-hmm.
In a deeper level, we look at things as, oh, this is, it's a display that we get to appreciate and study in a way that does not become who we are, yet we are part of that environment.
It sounds pretty deep.
It. Yeah,
I'm trying to keep up.
Yep.
It is really deep, but there's no discounting the impact that social media, that magazines, that everything that we look at and we are thrown at every single second of the day, telling us how to think, how to act, how to look, is deeply affecting people.
It is. You know, when I talk about it with everyone. It is somewhat respecting that as well. You know, we can't say, oh, it doesn't exist or it's not here.
Right, we're not Buddhas living on a mountain
exactly.
somewhere. We can't just escape.
We can't really ignore it.
But I have to say to you, the beauty of this, and I'm just going to go in a good note, is that it's going to somewhat allow you to be drawn to yourself a little bit more, which is really, if you are busy, you forget, oh, I forgot that I had to eat today. you know.
Yeah. I never
and
forget
most
that.
Most of us can go on.
I never forget that at all.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. And, you know, everything we do in life becomes a practice.
Yeah.
So it's just one more thing. And so I believe that if we become aware of that, what will eventually happen is the acceptance of just being here, it's more, I'm glad I'm here. You become a contribution for those who are not ready to see it as well.
Mm.
So
What I want to ask, I know we have to take a break, but what I want to ask when we come back is who can benefit from seeing you and some of the things that you can do.
Yeah.
Like with a treatment.
And I'd love to touch on shamanism. I know that, you know, it's kind of
an
interesting subject for some, and people don't even know what shamanism is, but you have a background in it and a basis in it. And it's fascinating to me because at some point in my life, I know I'm going to go on a ayahuasca journey somewhere.
Maybe you were in a past life.
I know I was.
Because you're so compassionate about it. I mean, hello, the drum circles.
I
had to be.
Yeah,
definitely.
You're an old soul.
I think I was, I think I was a barbarian back in the day with like a loincloth and like
that.
A club.
Oh.
Yeah.
You want to reenact that?
I could. my wife has my loincloth for me. She's Sherry's watching.
Is that
right
slang
now
for something?
Hey, Sherry. Yeah.
Never mind.
Love you, Sherry.
All right, we're going to take a break. It's Kathy and Frank at 7:46 on WGN. Okay, we're so fascinated.
The music's just great, Mike, by the way.
Yeah.
Good choice.
All right. Kathy and Frank show on WGN, and our guest is Johanna Probst, a spiritual healer. And I'm trying to keep it where the general population can follow along because it's something that I don't want to necessarily say it's like not scientific, but it's anytime you're dealing with like mediumship or any kind of spiritual
psychics or
energy, anything like that. There's so many skeptics because like it's not tangible. There's not science. You can't see the proof. So do you have an example of treating someone, obviously without giving names, where it will help people better understand what you do and your gift?
Yes. You know, I have to say, just wanted to say when I grew up, the healing component is, at least my practice, the healing component is very important because what's entitled is it's the process of a lifetime. So, you know, we're talking about the spiritual surgeries, and at first I wasn't really sure, well, what does this mean? You know, I have this ability, not really understanding. And one of the things that I learned growing up is there's a sense of humility with the work that I do, and I try to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also the understanding of self-love and value what life means and everything. And as I started to practice with the body, because when I do a session, you know, a person comes, we talk about things, and then their energetic field sort of opens.
Mm-hmm.
And my sight is my strongest, that I grew up with. I'm able to see a little further into the body and locate pockets of energy that have accumulated through their life experiences, which is what causes the illnesses.
So chronic pain becomes
exactly
one of the treatments that
there's a lot of emotional connection with a lot of the pain that we experience.
Oh, you're hearing more and more about that. It's
yes
all over social media. If you know, you follow certain people, that emotions have so much to do with illness.
It
trapped
is
so emotions
hard.
Yeah.
It, you know, and it's confusing because we have a belief system. You know, we've grown up with a lot of belief systems, and there's no right and wrong. It's nobody's fault, really. But our parents, our grandparents, you know, they all come different generations. And so when I experienced, and I would say I witnessed this, even today I said, oh, Spirit, how did I came about this? And what just happened right now? I have no idea how to even comprehend it myself. It sort of forced me to go internal into my soul and connect with the person's soul. So what happens is, when I'm in a session, the grid, which I call the blueprint, the energetic field somewhat opens, and I'm just able to go in there and sort of move the energy enough that if I locate those emotional pockets,
mm-hmm,
as I speak to the person, it seems to open the guarded, you know, the guarded
gate.
Like the gate.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you able to do this with kids and kids with anxiety?
Yes.
Because I'm seeing more and more children suffering from anxiety.
Yes.
And I think it's a really important topic.
It's a beautiful experience. Mainly, if you ask anyone who's at a session, I try to keep it, go back to the childlike energy of everyone, whether they're kids or adults or, you know, it doesn't matter the age. Because that's the part that somewhat gets shattered or hidden or not value.
I think a lot of times people have childhood issues that even as an adult might not necessarily realize could be harming them physically, some emotions that they haven't dealt with. And they thought, oh, no, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't. I'm over that. And yet they've repressed it or suppressed it, and it's causing health issues. And so you're able to kind of see that and help them
yes.
be more aware of that?
More aware, because if I am connecting an ultra state, so I do experience an ultra state space where I can energetically connect. We're not disconnected, but it's a communication. It's their frequencies. You know, we have a neural system that is in our brain that allows also to somewhat detect some of that language, the vibration. This is what music, it's amazing,
yeah.
you know.
Almost like mind reading or something along
those. Well, there's some serious science behind what she's talking
yes.
about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole idea of energetic frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple documentaries on Gaia that I've watched that are brilliant and really dive deep with scientists into the quantum energy fields that exist
yes.
out there.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're referring to, correct?
Yes, I do. I love scientific concepts. I think they're fascinating. I think the brain fascinates me.
Yes.
I would, you know, love to be a brain surgeon or something.
Wow.
If I come back in a different...
You are wow. kind of a brain surgeon.
In a way, in a deeper level, I could do that. And it's one of my favorite things to do is to be able to, after a session, go back to the brain, the neural system, and somewhat rewire some of those frequencies for the person. So the new information starts to navigate in a more balanced, in a more appropriate way for the, you know, for the train of thoughts or emotions and things like that. It'll transfer. What it does, it allows people to have better oxygen going all the way to your brain, to your feet. I mean, we have so many brains, kind of, you know, you have your head, then you have the back, the spine, you know, the medulla, I don't know how to say it in English, but it's, you know, is the lower back, and then you got the ankles. The ankles are just extremely intertwined with nerves, and sometimes there's so much accumulation that imagine if I hold your ankles really tight,
mm-hmm.
it will create pressure that it only is going to push up into your legs, and then you create, you know, tightness in your hip, and then you got digestive problems, and next thing you know, headaches mm-hmm. and things like that. So
wow.
the surgeries are one of those. And we're like, how do I even call this? Because it does look like surgery to
well,
me.
I've seen,
yeah.
but it's, I've
it's
seen
kinda
you
like
do
a
it.
Spin. Well, thank you.
And it's pretty fascinating, you know, from the literal opening of the chest or area with your fingers, and then the things you do with breath and pushing out the energy. Like, it's I don't know, folks. I don't know how to explain it, but it's literally surgery without a scalpel, and you feel the difference.
Wow. And so people yeah. feel it right away before they even get off the table. And
yes, some people actually fall asleep as if they were
sedated.
Sedated.
Oh.
And then it takes about 3 to 4 days to recover. And so I always advise to not do any exercise, to rest, drink a lot of
Sweet.
Water.
No exercise? Awesome.
And water is important. You know, when I do that work, the oxygen somewhat, for me, I experience my oxygen sort of going low a little bit, and then bringing it back up. So the hydration will occur a little bit. So drinking a lot of water after that process, and resting and sleeping, and, you know, there'll be a lot of emotion. A lot of people cry for a couple of days, and that's good.
I bet because there's a release, right?
Absolutely.
They're releasing these emotions or whatever
yes.
else is stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful process, and it's just really trusting. It's just really... Going
it's
back
very
to your...
cool. Again, it's so hard to comprehend and digest and
so much
process.
And really, everyone will benefit from kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a 3-year-old. I was, you know, I work with. Wow. To 6-year-old, 7 college kids, or which I miss all my college kids. Hello, all my college kids. Summer has come in, and to everyone, really, I visit hospitals, hospice. Just different things.
We do have to take a quick break, yeah.
Okay.
If you can hang around just for a little bit longer,
absolutely.
Maybe we'll bring you a little bit past the
Thank
news
you.
And just wrap things up.
Excellent.
You're good with that? All right. Joanna Probst is going to continue the conversation with us. I'm still going to ask my shamanism questions because I just need to ask you two or three things. Oh, Mike's got them handy. He doesn't leave home without them.
Who's got the weed?
Yeah. That would be Kathy. And we'll be right back.
Is this like shaman music?
Totally.
Oh, is this drum circle?
The smoke machine just got let out.
The smoke machine.
Joanna's about to stomp around the room and spiritually open us up.
Does this like do something for you, this music?
Does it bring you back to your tribal basis? Do you feel
Have a tribal basis? Like what was...
I don't know.
I'm trying to still make a tribe for me.
She's making her own tribe.
Right now. I'll be in your tribe. Wait, can I be in your tribe?
I think a lot of people want to be in your tribe. That's Joanna Probst you're hearing, Kathy Hart, Frank Fontana.
Thank you.
On the night side of WGN Radio.
And I don't know if we've done you justice in explaining what you do. And I think it's just difficult to explain because it's, like I said, it's not like something tangible. And it's almost, I don't want to say faith-based. You just have mm-hmm. to believe.
It is. It is somewhat, at least the how I present my work, I think it's based on faith, really.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's how I have to go into this kind of concept for myself. You know, I have to trust. I do have faith a lot. And I just allow just my spirit guide me.
So I have to believe that some people are skeptical. Mm-hmm. But they might be just so desperate for some type of healing that they're not getting from doctors or
something different,
psychologists or therapists, and so they're open to it. Like, okay, I don't get it, but I'll try it. And then they do. And then do you find that they keep coming back because mm-hmm. they love the treatment and what it does?
Yeah, it really does. And I have to say, you know, I do have a lot of wonderful friends that are therapist and psychologist and stuff. We actually working together in St. Louis, and it's fascinating how we can actually come together and collaborate to help the kids and everyone that it's open to it.
Yeah,
well, and when you think about it, not to interrupt, sorry, Frank, but it makes me realize the whole placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
think about that. That's all in your head. So if it just seems like this could work in that same way, there's so much healing possible in our brains, and sometimes we just don't know how to use them, and you do.
Yeah, you know, it's an understanding of, once again, going to the bigger picture, you have the left brain,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the dark and the light and the up and then down, so we go back to polarity constantly. And so once you have a bigger understanding of that, you can allow yourself to see even your own experience as I need to fall down to get up. Kids need to fall off the bike to get up and mm-hmm. get back in the bike. And it is that same awareness that creates the frequencies in the brain to spread out depending upon how much oxygen it's actually getting through. So breathing and things like that.
Anytime you say
you're making
oxygen,
me take
you want to take a deep breath.
No, totally.
How many people just took a deep
it
breath?
Just reminds
as soon as you said
you know,
oxygen.
You ever think about like how often you don't breathe? Like throughout a day, if you really caught yourself, if you're shallow breathing or deep breathing, most people don't even take a deep breath throughout most of the day.
Yeah.
It's this tiny little shallow breathing, which is so bad for you.
Yes.
Same
well,
thing
you know,
when
I
you
have
say
to
the
include
word posture.
Myself, really.
Yes.
Posture and everything. You know, including myself, there's times where I may have to remind myself I have to breathe differently.
Yeah.
There's different ways of interpreting your breath. You know, so when you connect with the brain and we locate a lot of our brain parts, and you know, and I'm not a brain doctor, so I couldn't name every single thing there, but how I see it, energetically speaking, you know, there's a lot of different components that are intertwine in the back of the brain. You know, when I go there, all I see is our, you know, which I call the reptile. It's our survival. It's in the back of the head. And
we have reptiles in the back of our head?
Well, we sort of act like reptiles. We're not sure. Yet, if you think of a reptile in the desert, they're great survivors.
Yeah.
You know, they really collaborate with changing color and texture and their skin and things like that. And they find a way that they'd actually
evolve.
Can live.
They evolve. Yeah.
So it's the same for us. You know, we have our DNA, all our strands of DNA have components of healing. We have the animalistic energy, which is our male energy, female energy, child energy. And it's a combination of those that creates that amazing dynamic in our brain. You know, the left brain that wants to organize, compartmentalize things, the right brain who's constantly creating and inventing. Bringing those two together is the challenge for most of us. You know, how do we're constantly compensating one way or the other. And when we learn to bring it together, it's really being open to practice in a practical way. So let's say after a session, you know, what do you do when now you go home and you feel great 3 days later?
Yeah, sustainability is something.
Then you're back to...
Right.
Yeah, like what happens after 3 days when life continues to happen?
I was feeling great for 2 weeks and then I feel like everything is kind of crumbling back.
Yeah, like, and then you start to doubt whatever you're doing is working, you know? But so how do you answer that?
Sustain it.
Yeah.
So, you know, people do come back. It's a practice like everything else. And what you learn is the sensation of your body becomes, you embody that back. It's when I do a session, I create space. So now you have space. And the first thing I say is like, how do you want to fill this up again? And it's just really learning the old belief system and bringing the new information as I don't have to believe it or have a system. Can I just step forward and experience it? Because today is all about really experiencing where you are.
Yeah.
You
know?
And it takes a lot to change your belief system. When we've grown up with a certain belief system, or we just live day to day, year after year with the same belief system, it's really difficult to get into your own head and change that when it's so habitual.
Yes. My advice is just really practice kindness to yourself. You know,
that's
how you
sometimes
speak to yourself. How do you gracefully decide how you're going to step forward into your day or night or being with someone?
Do you believe in psychedelics for this kind of stuff? Like psilocybin and
like
magic
mushrooms and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's become such a huge therapeutic and we're running out of time. And I've been dying to talk about shamanism. We can't even get to it. But, you know, the basis of a lot of shamanic practices is ayahuasca, you know, like is a psychedelic to take you to another planet.
Right. And you have to remember that this is coming all from the 60s, beyond that. I mean, Alan Watts talks about psychedelic practices and how, you know, people are able to discover amazing doctors today have experienced that in their 60s before they even went to college to be a doctor. How fascinating, and they opened up that door. And perhaps that's what decided, you know, it was a decision for them to get, if I can open this door, can I actually practically do it?
So are the psychedelics not just for fun and, you know, just to like have a nice little ride?
Yeah, not just a trip, right?
To actually get your brain to open up to something else that's in you that you weren't aware of?
So I've never done it.
Can you tell I've never done them?
I've never done it myself. I've learned it energetically by really studying the brain through my shaman practice, which a shaman is a person that has access to spirit world and is able to bring the medicinal part of nature, which means if I connect with the elements and I utilize them in a way that benefits me as I am part of the element. Because think about
it's
your
like
body.
Fire, water.
Well, your body's water, right? Mm-hmm. Your energy is heat. So I will say that fire, you know, your thoughts and things that go in and out of your brain are like the air. You know, it's...
If you're lucky, if they go in and out of your brain. Most people get them stuck there. And then they come see you. And you're busy like all day, every day. You come in town.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah, and we would love to get your website out there. Where can people find you? Because we've got people texting in, want to know if you do work here in Chicago. So explain.
I do. I'm here once a month. I come for 4 or 5 days sometimes. And My website is johannahealing@gmail.com.
Want to spell that?
As J-O-H-A-N-A, healing, H-E-A.
You have to spell that part.
Yeah. I hope so, because now I'm going to forget I speak English. But anyway, yes, and you can look up, and you know, it's a simple website, but it's just really connecting with the stories. But I'm in Chicago once a month.
Great.
And everybody's interested.
Great.
Absolutely.
Try it out. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, johannahealing.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
This has been so fun.
Enjoy your stay in Chicago.
Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Thanks for the opportunity. And really just grateful to everyone who's open for this kind of gift, really.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for people that don't understand it. And we hope we did it justice. But who knows? I think it's just one of those things you have to experience it to really get the true benefit.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Johanna.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. It's 8:17. Hey, if you saw her on stage, you'd never know why losing her sight has never changed her artistic vision. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9. It is 8:17 with Kathy and Frank on WGN.